Well, it's week two of Tighten the Knot, and today we are going to be talking about trust. And one of the things that I want to talk about today is how important trust is in marriage. The title of the message is Trust is Invaluable. And as we read a portion of Scripture, I want us to think about the fact that if there is trust in a marriage, the passage of Scripture that I'm going to read is easy to follow. So before we get into the message, though, I want to give you a couple things. I'm going to give you a couple things each week to either what I call rekindle the fire or start the fire or keep it burning or tighten the knot, whatever you want to say. So I just want to give you a couple things for each of you as a spouse, the ladies two things and the men two things. The first thing is for the ladies is never lose an opportunity to build your man up. Whether you're inside the house and he's done something good or he's working on something or he's taking care of stuff, never lose an opportunity to build up that confidence in your husband. And if you're outside the house and you're talking to other people about your husband or your marriage, never disrespect him in public. You know, make sure that you always build him up. Men, yours this morning is say nice things to and about your wife. Talk to her. Tell her what a good mom she is. Tell her what a good wife she's been. Just say nice things to her and about her. And again, whether you're inside the house or whether you're outside, make sure that you are not disrespectful to each other outside the home. One of the things that just really aggravates me is when people I know talk negatively about their spouse when they're around their friends. They'll tell them their faults. So, you know, you're not building them up and you're not saying nice things. You should never refer to your wife as your old lady. You should never refer to your husband as your old man. You should never refer to either one as your ball and chain. I mean, these are not ways of tightening the knot, okay? So those are the first two. The next are kind of fun. Ladies, you need to ask your husband what he would like to do, and then you do it with him. Whether it's he wants to go out in the garage and work on something, or whether it's he wants to go play golf and you're going to ride in the cart with him. Those are fun things to do together. Men, remember the fun things that you did when you were dating and do them again. Bring back some of those old things that you just, you know, you liked when you were dating. It was fun. You went and did. If you're too old, they might not have some of those things that you used to do back when you were dating, but, you know, figure out some new ones to do and have some fun with your spouse, because it's important to keep our marriages fun, great places to be. Marriage is hard enough without trying to do everything perfect and not getting any recognition or anything like that. We need to build each other up. Iron sharpens iron. We know that from the Bible. And I think in marriage especially, you know, when you can have fun together, when you can laugh together, you're going to cry together, I guarantee you. You're going to have times when it's not great. So you need to take time and really think about the way that the world is and do some good things to help your marriage. This week I downloaded Focus on the Family's Marriage Health in America report, and it's about 30-some pages long, and it gave me some real good information. It made me see that in America right now, of those people that are married, 74% of marriages say, and you know, some people are truthful and some people aren't, but 74% of people that are married, especially Christian marriages, say they're healthy. 21% of the marriages in America say that they're in crisis mode. And so we've got a 4% the group that are like, well, it isn't really bad, but it isn't really good. And so we need to really think about that and how it plays off into our marriages. The number one thing that keeps couples together, though, is trust. The number one thing that keeps couples apart or makes problems in marriage is distrust, and that makes sense, and there's a couple others. One are sexual issues, and another is financial issues. When you fight about money, when your sex life isn't the greatest, and when you have no trust, marriage is really, really hard. So thinking about those things, let's get into this passage of Scripture today. So the passage we're going to read is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. And Paul starts it out like this. He says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives should also submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing through the blood and the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and they care for their body, just as Christ does for the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Let's pray. Father, this passage is from a time that was 2,000 years ago almost, but it still can make sense for us today. Help us to put it to practice in our lives each day that we live. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning really quick about trust, and I want to ask you a few questions really quick before we get into the couple points that I think are really important. First thing I want to ask you is this: do you trust your spouse? That's an interesting question. You see, if somebody asks you, do you love your spouse, you're probably going to go, oh yeah, I love my wife, or I love my husband. But then if they go, why do you love your husband, or why do you love your wife, you can come up with some real nice things to say, but the fact of the matter, love's hard to explain. Ever had your wife or your husband say, honey, why do you love me? And you're kind of at a loss for words because that's really hard to articulate. Trust, on the other hand, is not as hard to articulate, because trust can be given, trust can be earned, and trust can be lost. And you can love somebody that you don't trust. And so we really need to think about whether we trust our spouses. And I have three qualifiers here, okay? One is, do you trust your spouse? Do you trust your spouse with your life? I mean, do you think your husband would lay down his life for you? Do you think your wife would do everything for you if you got hurt? I mean, do you trust your spouse with your life? I think it's really important to ask that question. The other thing is, do you trust your spouse with your future? Do you trust that they're making good choices in your 401k, getting ready for retirement? I know that if I told Nell, if I came home and I told Nell that I was preparing for our retirement and we were going to retire in Galveston, Texas, she would be really, really upset with me because she hates that kind of climate. She knows I hate that climate, and she would not be happy that she left me in charge to figure out our retirement if Galveston, Texas was going to be the place. And it's definitely not going to be. And then the other part is, do you trust your spouse with your money? Again, we talked a little bit about this last week, really quick. I said if the couple is not ready to share their checkbook, they're not ready to share a bed. And I really mean that. It's not my money and your money. It's our money. The husband doesn't get to pay the house payment, and the wife doesn't get to pay the utilities or vice versa, and then somebody pays the house or the car payment, and somebody pays the car insurance, and then whatever left over, everybody gets it. No, it's you pull your money together, you put it in one account, we pay the bills, we have plans for the rest of the money that's discretionary, and we save some, and we spend some, but we do it as a partnership. It's our money, okay? If you don't do it that way, you're going to get in fights because somebody's going to forget to pay a bill, or somebody's going to go, well, I don't think I should have to pay that much because you took this many baths this month. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you do not want to get into. So do you trust your wife or your spouse enough to have all your money in one place? Again, that may seem like real elementary stuff that you have to trust your spouse with your life, your future, your money. But out of all the things that couples have problems with, money's a big one. And when money is a big issue, when you start having problems because of money, trust becomes a problem. Your intimacy can become a problem. And so it can really mess up your whole marriage. So you've got to have trust. Trust is invaluable to a marriage. The next point is a real point. The other one was just kind of a qualifier to get us started. But number two this morning is trust brings peace. When there is trust in a marriage, marriage can be so fun, so much joy. It can be a great experience. When you have trust, when you love somebody and you trust them with your life and your money and your future, you have a peace about your marriage that will help when some of the conflicts come. Because you're going to have some problems, there's going to be some issues, but when there's trust, trust takes the edge off. You go into it believing in each other. It's not, what did you do this time? Or I can't believe you do this again. Or, you know, I can't believe I trusted you. You know, a lot of marriages are started with implied trust. And it's given to our spouses until something happens. But if we really trust each other, trust will make marriages so much better. When wives trust their husbands, they're willing to do what the Bible says in Ephesians and submit to their husbands, because submitting is a form of respect, and submitting is not, you know, just cowering and doing and bowing down to your husband. That's not what submitting means in this passage. This passage means realize that God set up marriage with the man to be the head. And that's the way God wants it. And if you work together and if you respect that, God's going to do great things in your life. And wives, if they really feel like they're loved and cared about and they trust their husbands, they're not going to have a problem submitting. And likewise, if men trust their wives that they are doing what's best for his family, they're doing best for his life, for him, for the family, not his family, but their family. If she's doing everything she can to make life beautiful, he's not going to have any problem loving her as Christ loved the church. I sometimes think about this passage and go, you know, It says, submit to your husbands, wives, and men, love your wives, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And I sometimes wonder, who's got the bigger job there? You know, it's a big deal. But I truly believe that trust in a relationship brings peace. Because there's going to be problems. We know that. Two people can't go life without problems, you know. Leroy and Evelyn have been married 66 years, and they're a great example to us in our church of the people that have quote, stuck it out, you know. And it's a great thing to think about. But that doesn't happen if there's not trust. It doesn't happen if there's not respect for each other and trust in one another. And you know, this passage starts out with the verse that says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And that's huge. You know, yes, he goes on to say, wives, submit to your husbands, and husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. But he starts it out by saying, submit to each other. Respect one another. When that's there, nobody has a problem in respecting or submitting to each other. Because not only does trust bring peace, but trust gives confidence. If I know that my wife trusts me, that means a lot. That brings a comfort to a marriage. If a husband knows his wife trusts him, if a wife knows her husband trusts her, that just changes the whole dynamic of marriage. And so we need to have that trust so we can have that confidence. Trust enables vulnerability. It's not easy being married, and sometimes you're going to have to sit down and have some talks that are uncomfortable. But if you trust one another, those kinds of talks can be so much easier, and they can make a lot more difference in your lives. So just make sure that you're doing that. And it enhances intimacy. And I don't plan to get a lot into our intimate relationships in this sermon series, but the fact of the matter is we have those. As married couples, those intimate times are enhanced when we trust each other, when we know that each of us wants the best for the other. And so I want you to really believe that trust is extremely important. Your application this morning is simply this. If trust is so important in a relationship, then building that trust is your responsibility. It's not your husband's, it's not your wife's, it's yours. All of us need to be doing things that are building the trust in our relationship. We don't have one person that's responsible for the trust in our marriages. All of us need to be working on it. We're going to pray in just a second. Trust is important. Trusting in our spouses is essential. Trusting in God as a part of our marriage is paramount. So make sure that you're trusting God, that you're asking Him to bless your marriage, that you're asking Him to help you as you are a couple. If you haven't gotten married yet, you know, trust that God's going to send you someone your way, and start thinking about how you can put some of these principles to practice in your life. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the institution of marriage that you created when you created Adam and Eve. Father, help us to learn to trust you and each other so that we can live the abundant lives that you want, and we can have wonderful marriages that last a long, long time till death do us part. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we stop this recording, let me just say this. This morning's message did not get taped, and so I'm re-preaching this, if you will, at 5:00 on Sunday afternoon. Some of the stuff that I said this morning, I don't remember. But I think I've given you a good synopsis of what this morning's message was really about. Learn to trust each other in your marriages. Have a great week.